Our sermon picks up from, well, it's the part before Mary's Magnificat. It's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Thank you, God, for all your messengers, winged or not, who bring us good news of great joy and challenge. Do you remember the short chorus we learned last week? Let's try it again. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. Oh, good job. Yes, here is another angel in the Advent / Christmas story. Well, actually, it's the same angel from last week, Gabriel. God must have really liked and trusted Gabriel because he was the angel who brought earth-shattering news to Zechariah and now to Mary. We know Gabriel appeared to Zechariah in the temple, popping out, or so it seemed to the priest, from behind the curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Where did Mary encounter Gabriel? In her house? On the street? In the barn? At the well? The story doesn't tell us. But what's best, most fascinating about the angel was that he knew how God felt about Mary, and he told her so directly. "Hello, favored one. Hello, God's beloved." What did Mary do to gain God's favor, to catch God's eye, so that God said, "That is the one I want to bear my son"? Was she extremely religious? Was she always hanging out at the synagogue? Did she go around the village helping people and bringing food to them and visiting the sick and the poor? Was she supremely respectful of her parents? Was she always praying? Did she daydream about being the mother of the Messiah, every Jewish girl's longing? What made God choose her, this young, obscure girl in a remote, obscure village? God saw something in Mary, a willingness, an openness, a faithfulness, a childish belief in God's power. Gabriel came to her with his astounding message, a message that would turn her world upside down and put her at odds with her parents, with her fiancé Joseph, with her entire village. Maybe some other girl would have fled screaming from the unexpected visitor. Maybe some other girl would have said an indignant no to the proposal, thinking about her reputation and what a surprise pregnancy would do to it. But Mary listened to Gabriel with her eyes and her heart wide open. His flattering greeting perplexed her. "You talking to me?" But it also made her look at herself in a new, unexpected way. Maybe she was the youngest in her family and everybody kind of put her down. And since she was a girl, nobody thought she was going to amount to much. She'd never do anything outstanding in her life. She'd reached the pinnacle of her existence in securing a marriage proposal. She didn't have any more ambition than that, than to be someone's wife and someone's mother. But Gabriel's appearance let her know there was more to her life than she ever believed possible. Mary tried to take it all in. "God wants me? God thinks I can be more than I am right now? God thinks I can be the mother of God's son?" Mary didn't think about how saying yes would cause great consternation and trouble. She believed the majestic message and all the promises it held of her great son, of the redemption of Israel, of an everlasting kingdom. Yes, she said, I want to be part of that. But then logic settled in. But how will it happen? Mary was mature enough to know how babies came into the world. This was going to be a different baby, and so undoubtedly it would come into the world in a different way. Gabriel explained that the power of the Holy Spirit would come over and overcome her. It's been likened to the way the Spirit swept over the waters at creation, setting the world in motion. And it's quite appropriate because God was now manifesting a new creation, a new way for God to be in the world. Nothing will be impossible with God, Gabriel said. And that was all Mary needed to hear. If the angel said it would happen like that, then it would happen like that. If the angel said it would be all right, she would trust that it would be all right. She would not be afraid. She would not worry. She would commit herself, body and soul and spirit, to God's will. God's unerring timeliness comes into play once again. Zechariah was serving in the temple at just the right time, the one and only time he would ever take the incense into the holy place. And now Mary was just at the right age to be a mother, at just the right time, in just this right town, with just this right teenager. God had begun the process of bringing light and salvation into the world. How patient is God to wait for just the right moment, to approach just the right people with just the right message. It seems as though after making his astonishing announcement, Gabriel vanished. But I don't think he completely vanished. He had greeted Mary with the words, "The Lord is with you," not just for this brief moment in time, boom, here and gone, but forever and always. God was not going to leave Mary unprotected and alone as she faced the great challenges ahead of her, telling her astounding story to her parents, to Joseph, dealing with the fallout and the backlash. How would she be able to bear this burden, wonderful as it was, without the help and protection of God? The Lord is with you now, Mary, God said. The Lord has always been with you, and the Lord will never leave you. In her moments of doubt and loneliness, Mary had but to remember Gabriel's greeting, "You are favored, you are beloved." And then indeed she could believe everything would be all right, whether her parents accepted her or not, whether Joseph stuck by her or not, whether she would be an outcast or an object of scorn. An angel had come to reassure her and to surround her with the protection and the power of God all night, all day. What did she to fear in the face of that? I hope if we're ever accosted by an angel and given an earth-shattering message, I hope we would react to it just as Mary did. We remember how Zechariah challenged Gabriel, demanding to know how he and Elizabeth would ever be able to have a child, old as they were. He just didn't believe Gabriel knew what he was talking about. We know what happened to him for doubting. Mary's question, "How can this be?" was not like Zechariah's. Her tone was more full of wonder and hope. She was more like, "I want this to happen, but how can it happen? When will it happen? Now? Let it be according to God's will. Let's do this." She didn't ask for proof or reassurance, but Gabriel gladly let her know just what would happen. She was ready. She was as eager for the Messiah to come as God was to send him. More than anything else, she was humbled that God chose her out of all the women in the world, richer women, older women, more worldly women, dare I say wiser women, to be the mother of the Messiah. God knew her heart. She wasn't going to use this honor to elevate herself or call attention to herself. She would remain humble and trusting and ever willing to do whatever God asked her to do. I hope if we're ever accosted by an angel who tasks us with doing something great for God, I hope we'll be as willing to say yes as Mary was. I hope we'll be as trusting and as Mary was. I hope we'll remember there are angels all around us. Signs that God will not give us a duty to perform and then leave us to our own devices without protection and direction and the power to do God's will. The angel said the power of the Most High would come upon Mary, giving her strength she never knew she had, deepening her faith and making her part of God's plan for the world. This was not just a one-time promise to Mary, it's an all-the-time promise to all of us. Is any word impossible with God? Certainly not. If God has the idea, won't God make it happen? What can stop God from doing what God wants to do? So we learn from Mary, when we meet an angel, just say yes. God has already straightened everything out and made it all work just as God planned it to. Our job is simply to say yes and to bear the Christ with us, just as Mary did. She was perfectly ready to obey God, come what may. She would tell people, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming. We carry Jesus with us just as Mary did. We share her message, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming. Because of the son she bore, we are now just like Mary, highly favored, blessed, and the Lord is with us, always. Expect an angel. Hear the voice of God's angel saying to you, yes, you, hello, favorite one, hello, God's own beloved. Then open your hands and your hearts to the wonders of doing God's will. And remember, with God, nothing will be impossible. God saw something God could use in Mary, and God sees something in you too. Let your answer to the angel echo Mary's, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your will. Let's do this. Let us pray. God, for Mary's bravery, faith, and willingness, we give you thanks. As we carry the Christ with us as she did, let our words and our joy reflect the promises you offer to all your children, power and protection, even in the face of what we consider impossible. For we indeed know that with you, God, nothing will be impossible. Call us, lead us, guide us to do your will and bring your light into the world. Amen.